Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Today's show is on diversity inclusion and being able to understand our cultural biases and how we get down in the workplace, in our relationships, in our marriages, and any which way, shape, or form that we all operate. And I wanted us to have this conversation because today I was having some difficulties in, you know, it's a lot of things that shape my views on life in different cultures and things like that. I was always raised in a household of cultural togetherness, no matter if you're white, black, Puerto Rican, Italian, Filipino, Armenian, black, you know, this doesn't matter if you're white. I miss any race. You know, it just doesn't matter, Pacific Islander, Japanese, Korean, all those different things. So when we're talking about diversity and inclusion, it also means how our world is shaped and our culture of race wars that have been going on now here recently, because we have a lot of rhetoric-ridden people who like to play, you know, cultural biases, the race cards and things like that. It is becoming easy to fall into ethnocentrism, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're mixed white and black, or whether you have heritage of all different colors and races in your family. So the Great Divide has begun with a lot of people who are separatists anyway. But the I am abundance mindset, the illuminated mindset, and the mindset of I am the body does not call for diversiveness and, you know, levels of racist rhetoric and things like that. So therefore, I wanted to do this because our experiences do shape how we really think of other races and of people. And my background is in human resources. That's why I graduated with my degree in business and human resources. And it's not to toot my horn about a degree, because a lot of people have a problem with people with degrees, but I don't care about the degree. I just care about the knowledge that I gained and I learned. And then also for me to be able to go to school to get my consultant license, for my business license, for me to be able to be called a consultant, you have to have a bachelor's degree. So that's really the reason why I went to school. So in diversity and inclusion, it also affects us in relationships. It affects us in marriage. It affects us with cluster B personality disorder people, and also toxic people, and toxic people in the work environment, and then even in the marriage. So I wanted you guys to understand how important and imperative it is for us to get to the point that we understand dramatic, emotional people, erratic people who are racist, rhetoric-ridden, are divisive and separatist. And in our world that we're going to is an I am abundance mindset, an illuminated mindset, which we always all had. We all grew up in order, but to see it in real time and fruition, it's always been there. We just never noticed it. And, you know, one of the greatest things that I picked up today is the illumination, and I'll read it out to you guys so that you guys can understand why I look towards the pillars of light, which means everybody is involved, whether it's at the top or the bottom. It's a trickle-down effect. So even if you're the smallest person in the world, you're still a big person no matter what. We all are on different levels. We just have a certain different level that we're at in life. But it doesn't make anybody less than anybody else. And when your race is factored into it, we cannot have that in abundance mindset, and unified mindset, and abundance mindset, and things like that. But you got to think about this as well. When we think about our marriages and the things that we do and all that, and our relationships and how they're shaped by cultural and ethnocentricity, and, you know, when we think about diversity and inclusion, we think about that in the workplace, but do we think about that in our environment? So we have to learn how to be tolerant of all things and all people and all walks of life. And I wanted people to understand how important it is to be able to do that, you know, and then on top of that, to be able to understand that even during times of COVID, we have to learn how to accept others, no matter what. And when we think about COVID and we think about layers and levels of how people are showing the true colors, okay? For me, it's affected me greatly because I'm in the business of coaching. There are going to be some people who don't think I'm qualified because I'm black and they don't know that I'm mixed with white. But at the end of the day, I don't worry about that because I never really looked at my heritage and things like that. And so it became now in here now and in the present of dealing with cultural biases and things that happen in my life. And I never realized what it was, you know, until I was like, wait a minute. Well, I've got the heritage and background of being both. So, you know, but people see me as a black woman. And I identify as a black woman. So when we think about all this and we think about mixed heritage children and we think about children who are raised with black and white parents, white and black, or, you know, any type of mixed race culture child has to deal with these cultural ethnocentrism biases and things like that, and they're also confused. But in the I Am Abundance mindset, unified advanced mindset, it doesn't matter your color. It's as long as you're qualified, as long as you can do the job. Or, you know, when you're married and you're dating and you're thinking about those different things like that, what our children are going to be affected with. You know, and it's just like my daughter. She dates a white guy. Nothing wrong with that. You know, and me wasn't having mixed race heritage, but I never really talked about all of that until now. And so it became a thing where, you know, levels and depths of law enforcement, Leos, outside of that, these, you know, things that were going on that affected my life. And, you know, I realized that, you know, people see me as black. They don't see me as a mixing because I took on more black coloring. So when we think about all these different things, and most people want to not have this conversation because it's uncomfortable, and then, you know, some things are taboo. But in my opinion, with workplace diversity and inclusion, that needs to be said. And then on top of that, with dating, that needs to be said. We need to have these conversations because if we don't learn how to unpack these things, we'll never get to a point of unity, abundance, and advancement in real time. And then in the digital age, we're seeing a lot of things, the videotapes, so different stuff that's going on. And, you know, I don't want to just harp on police departments. I want to get it understood that even I have a child in school age. And lots of things happen while they're in high school. And, you know, I sit there and I look at it and I'm like, dang, these kids are faced with so much. No wonder they're so depressed. No wonder they're so angry because they really aren't trying to see in a color. They're in a gray area because most of the kids that my daughter goes to school with are black and white. Some of them are black and Filipino. Some of them are black and Asian. Some of them are, you know, white and Pacific Islander or other different races of mixtures. So when we're thinking about pure white, pure black, pretty soon we're going to be like a rarity of pure black, pure white people. And there's nothing wrong with that, but at the same token, in the same breath, we've got people who are divisive, who have racism so deep in their heart. And see, I wasn't born like that. I was born love has no color, and then I was born that dating has no color, and then I was also, you know, money has no color, and then business has no color. So when we have this conversation, we're going to unpack it and understand our social circles, and then on top of that, building a powerful team where you're in the workplace, and then on top of that, you know, being Asperger's syndrome, high functioning, it becomes a thing of being neurodivergent, but dealing with neurotypical people. And then we have to add ethnocentrism, we have to add workplace diversity and inclusion. And then we think about layers of dealing with teasing in the workplace harassment, provoking, gaslighting, abusive people in the workplace. And then we've got racist people in the workplace. And then we have the other thing of understanding a layer in depth of our social circles and things like that, and learning how to deal with different people and different social circles. Here's the reason why. If we don't learn how to deal with it now, we're never going to be able to deal with it in any way, shape, or form. We're never going to be able to tolerate each other and understand it. Even if you were raised in a biased household, if you're raised in a racist household, you still have to learn how to deal with others. And my thing is, even at that, you're going to see a lot of people who are going to have mixed grandkids. What are you going to do when the world is full of curly tops and a lot of kids who are mixed race? So, you know, I honestly think we should have this conversation and unpack it and really get to a point of understanding, a point of contention. And then on top of that, having an understanding that when you date, it doesn't matter if you date a white girl, it doesn't matter if you date a white boy, it doesn't matter if you date a mixed black and white boy, it doesn't matter if you date a black boy or a black girl. So when we think about all these different things and colorism and all the things that are going on in this world, we have so many divisive things, but we have to find a way to unify and be abundant and advancement and things like that in this world because the world cannot keep on functioning with divisiveness and discord. I can't function like that. So when we think about all these different things, I want you guys to understand that and why it's so important. Also, let me let you know, call 833-IMCC, 833 for my appointment, and 833-BOOK-ME-TOO, and book on the website, imcccoaching.com, DonzitaCoaching.com and TeamWorld.online. And then also IMCC.com for my own personal schedule. I'll be separating my own personal schedule from my actual coach's schedule and things like that. That's why the websites are separated right now. And TeamWorld.online for adolescents, young adults, and children. And that is for the Team World mindset, which is destination motivation, get up, and do something, don't let the world pass you by. So, project initiatives are also with our charity, Caring Orchid, and things like that. And I want you guys to understand that is very important for diversity and inclusion, because when we serve different people, no matter what we do in the community at large, we need to be able to be culturally understood. And then on top of that, as a woman and as a Black woman and a mixed white woman, I will tell you guys that it's not easy to have this conversation, because I always identify as Black. I never really want to talk about it. But because I've been treated as Black, I wanted people to understand where it's coming from. And then on top of that, I felt really bad, because this morning it was like saying some things and I felt some type of way, because, you know, I've dealt with so many different cumbersome, bothersome things that have happened to me. And it happened to me with white people. It's happened to me with Black people and also Spanish. And so I didn't want people to think, you know, okay, she's like that. I'm not necessarily at all, any way, shape, or form, racist in any way, because I was raised to be open-minded, and plus I was raised in a neighborhood full of white, Black, all kind of mixed military and things like that, so I couldn't be racist to save my life. However, there are some biases that ended up coming along inadvertently because of actions and crimes that changed me. So when I thought about this, I was like, you know what, I need to have this conversation. I need to have this conversation with everybody so that we can all heal and become together as a unified, abundant, advanced nation. But we also need to have these uncomfortable conversations as well. Because, you know, as I hire and do things as a human resource administrator and things like that, and human resources director, that's my profession by nature. So, and outside of that, coaching and certified life coach, wellness coach, divorce coach, and also business coach, branding, and things like that, I want you guys to understand I will be serving all different walks of life. So when it comes down to it and I have to scale my business up and do what I need to do to diversify, I have to make sure that I never let personal things that happen to me affect my hiring or firing or things like that. And then being in the field of human resources, that is imperative and important for all of you people who are in human resources and do the hiring and things like that. I want you guys to always hire based on layers and depth of qualifications, not by the color of somebody's skin, but the content of their character. And that's a quote by Martin Luther King. And we think about all these different things that King fought for, and we think about all the things that my mother fought for in the 60s and the 70s and things like that for us to have freedoms. And then I'm looking at it now, and it's an embarrassment because we're going back 50, 60 years, and it's like, wow, we really went back to 4 years, back to the times where, you know, people really had biases because things happened to them. And I tell you this one thing, my aunt, when I was younger, had these feelings toward white people, and I used to tell her, Auntie, don't feel like that. You know, why do you feel like that? She was like, well, you know, I used to play this lady's fours, and, you know, she used to treat me kind of a little certain way. So, and then I realized it wasn't that she was racist. She wasn't born like that, because my grandma would have kicked her tail. But it's because she dealt with so much racism in the 30s and the 40s that it was one of those type of things before they had integration and things like that. She dealt with racism. She dealt with it up close and personal. My mother was in the 60s and the revolution of the times of the late 60s and the late 70s and things like that, when they were actually changing over and things were becoming more and more culturally diverse. It was okay to date interracial. You didn't have as many problems as they did in the 40s and as they did in the 60s and, you know, ending towards the 70s, you see more interracial dating and things like that, and they were open with it, but back in the 40s and the 30s, they couldn't be as open and things like that, so it did affect some people of that generation and that echelon. So when you hear an older person say something about white people or Black people and things like that, you have to understand what era did they come from. And then I had to think about it, as I've dealt with things that have changed my mindset and things like that, or inadvertently affected me to really start being afraid of white people or being afraid of Black people, or, you know, in general, because I am both mixed race, it has become difficult to embrace both sides and not choose a side. And now I understand what it means when, you know, a kid who is actually at the layers and depth of confused and not being taught both sides of their family. So I understand from mixed race and things like that, children, where it's coming from, because you know, the mindset is that, okay, if you have a black father and a white mother, or a white mother and a black father, you know, or a white dad and a black mother, then you're talking about layers and depth of having to explain both sides of the family. And then on top of that, making sure that you raise the child to be culturally diverse and inclusive of both races. And so, you know, with that being said, I understand it from both ends of the stick. And then, you know, up there in New Jersey and New York, I cast for Dominican, you know, and they're usually this color. So when it comes down to it, it is easy to blend in, but at the same token, it is hard when you're treated as black when somebody sees you as only black. And, you know, I understand the black white and the understanding of feelings, but I don't want black people also to get to a level of what they call ethnocentrism and being so overwoke that they're woke to the point that they're becoming racist towards white people. So that's the reason I wanted to have this conversation, because I felt mighty bad because I realized that I had developed some feelings or some irritations or aggravations and aversions towards certain races of people because of what happened to me and the near what death experiences and the levels of emotional scarring and things like that created that feeling of, you know, dang, you know, I don't want to feel like this. And I felt like a complete, total jerkette for that. And then I was like, you know what, let's have this conversation about diversity and inclusion, see if we can't unpack this from the point of view of dating, marriage, and then on top of that, also in workplace and diversity and inclusion, and being able to understand where all this comes from, and also be authentic and things like that, and I just embrace being neurodiverse in a neurotypical world. So when we're talking about those levels of things like that and understanding our social circles, we have to identify important relationships and determine what's most stable and supportive to our diversity and inclusion. So with that being said, you know, what we should know is that establishing a stable workplace environment and workplace inclusion or healthy relationships takes time. It takes that time that we might need to evaluate different things, evaluate how we feel about certain races, about certain things that, you know, we need to do as a country and as a whole global concept of abundance, unity, and diversity and things like that, and advancement for other people. We have to remember that the IMO mindset does not say but the whites though, but the blacks though, or but the Asians though. It means for everybody, whether you are Muslim, whether you are Catholic, whether you are Jewish, whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are mixed, it doesn't matter. Or whether you're Spanish or anything else. You know, and I feel like there's levels of depth that we need to evaluate our social circles and the people we're around, because they shape our levels of ethnicity and ethnocentrism. So when we think about this, to be over ethnocentric can lead us to being racist or biased. And when we have things that crimes that change us, or we have workplace bullying, harassment, torment, it changes us and our biases grow. Okay? So when we think about this, we need to reach out and find support in our SPARC teams of diversity inclusion teams in the workplace. And then when we are talking about levels of being married and dating interracially, we need to learn how to accept interracial marriages and interracial dating. And then on top of that, when we think about our kids who are out here who may be 25% white or 50% white or 50% black, we're talking about kids that are growing up in an era and a time where racism does not fit the narrative anymore. So if you're a racist, you might as well keep it behind closed doors, but I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to work in this world anymore, because we have so many people who want to date and date in such a manner of whoever they want to date, and love is love. No matter if it's white, no matter if it's black, or no matter if it's Puerto Rican, Dominican, whatever. And, you know, I want to be able to, when I finally get to a point that I can trust again and be able to love again fully, is to be able to date what I want to date, who I want to date, without abandon and without any type of feeling like, okay, I have to justify why I'm dating a white man, or why I'm dating a white black man, or why I'm dating a Puerto Rican or a Mexican or Italian, something like that. It doesn't matter. And, you know, the reason why I say this is because my family, we have all interracial levels of marriages in our family. We have Italian white. We have, like, literally blonde-haired, blue-eyed Italian. We have levels and depth of Spanish. We have all kind of races of in our family, and we have all different colors of people in our family. Some are dark, some are light. And then we have some people who have green eyes, blue eyes, gray eyes, and then we have brown eyes, and then some of us have tricolor eyes that change color. So, when I say my family is like the United Nations, it really is. And then my children are half white and half black. And then my child is 25% white because of me. And then I'm half. And so when we talk about these different things, we have to be able to understand it from those standpoints, because my daughter, she now dates a white boy. I don't say, oh, that white boy. I say my son. So I don't think of it any different, because my daughter's father, his other baby mothers are white. They're pure, straight up white girls, but they are my favorite girls. And then, you know, after I've had clients that changed me, I don't want to change my mind about white people. And then my oldest friend girl from high school was actually Jewish white. And then the other one was mixed black and white. And then I had another one that was black. So when we talk about this, I want to be able to come from a place of love. You know, it's just like this shirt that I have. And it says love. And when we think about love, what does that say? Love is about being able to understand other people. And being able to love someone based on just who they are is all that matters. So when we think about this shirt and it says love, right? What do you think? We think about loving our neighbor. We think about loving the people in our community and our environment. We think about loving people worldwide and being kind. And with the I am abundance mindset, the I am thing is I am agape love. I am love. I am namaste. I am able to have diversity and inclusion. So we have to start by healing the nation by having these conversations and unpacking them. And then on top of that, being able to understand it from all different walks and areas. That relationships matter. And, you know, even when you have levels and depth of disagreements in relationships, color should never come into the factor when you're arguing or not having an agreement towards something. So when we think about this, we have to think about our social circles. And some of us are going to have to clean up our social circles, because we've got some people who are abundantly clear that they are racist. But then we have some people who are biased because something changed them and something happened, so it triggered them. So when we think about this, we have to look at our social circles, start cleaning them up. And then, you know, if we've been through things, we have to learn how to process our emotions and openly talk and have this dialogue and discussion. So that's why I'm doing it today. So when we think about this, place yourself in the middle and write people's names that are all around you. Think about all your spark team and the people that you are raised by, raised around, people you work with, people you have dated in your lifetime, and then consider include yourself, if you can think of, any co-workers, classmates, counselors, and so forth, XYZ, 3434, and what's not. So let me think about this. Think about the circle closest to you, and if you might include, you know, your co-workers in this, think about the roles each person plays in your life. And also think about the changes you might want to make in different circles. So when we think about all of this, we have to think about, where did that circle come from? We think about the internal circle of people, and we go from this small internal circle to a bigger circle to a bigger circle, and we're talking about the circle of life, okay? So when we think about all these different circles, we think about the role they play. We think about where they actually played a pivotal role in the changes in our life or life experiences. So when we think about this, do you have enough supportive people in your circle to support diversity and inclusion? Do you have enough people who support your interracial dating and marriage? Do you have a level of circle who you can trust the most to be open-minded and have diversity and inclusion in their mindset? Or I am abundance mindset, which is each one reach one, teach one. Everyone in the world is together. We're not separate. We're not into this rhetoric. We're not going to be in a level of, oh, you're white, you're not included. Oh, you're black, you're not included. Everybody's included in the I am abundance mindset, or that pyramid of being able to build off of each person that you meet in your life and how they illuminate your life with greater light. So when we think about this, what relationships do you feel you want to change? And, you know, when you think about crimes that change us, I want to ask you guys, for things that change us and have created a level of bias, how does that make you feel when something happened to you and it's changed your mindset on, say, if you were friends with somebody white before and then all of a sudden something happens to you and you had it happen multiple times and then you start feeling away? How do you unpack that? And I'll tell you why. I said it's good to have this conversation. You got to be able to release the anger and animosity and remember it's an isolated person, an incident, versus, you know, lumping everybody in that whole demographic. So I want you guys to understand to be able to look closer instead of trying to remove yourself from negativity or negative feeling. We got to be able to open ourselves to a door of introspection and inner work and being able to understand, where did this come from? Where did I learn this from? If I wasn't raised this way, where did this come from? So when we think, do you want to have a new relationship to add to your circle? Whether it's somebody white, Puerto Rican, black, Italian, whether they're Muslim, whether they're UAE, if they're Saudi, if they're Iranian, it doesn't matter if they're Chinese, Japanese, Korean. We have to be able to envelope ourselves in a mindset that everybody is included. Everybody is worthwhile to be in our diversity and inclusion conversation. And no matter what your religion is, whatever you practice, it doesn't matter. If you're Catholic, if you're Roman Catholic, if you are Episcopalian, if you are anything of Jewish, if you are anybody that reads the Torah, you know, or if you are someone who is UAE, if you're Muslim, if you are Turkish, and you are practicing Judaism, it doesn't matter. As long as you understand that diversity and inclusion, it doesn't matter. As long as you're capable of understanding others' standpoint and views without being biased or racist or having ethno-cultural levels of ethnocentrism, you should be fine. Because religion loosely is overlapping everywhere. So whether you are practicing Judaism, whether you're practicing levels and depths of Catholicism, whether you practice anything outside of that Buddhism, it doesn't matter. As long as you understand that everybody is culturally diverse and different, and but we're all together, we believe the same. So when we think about this, we think about our relationships and the circles that we have, and what type of people would you like to add to your social circle? And then when we think about this in the workplace, and we think about workplace harassment, bias, and for both gaslight, toxic people, or toxic managers, we have to think about dealing with teasing, bullying in the workplace. Where does it come from? Is it coming from ethnocentrism? Is it coming from racism? Is it coming from divisive, toxic rhetoric? Is it coming from water cooler gossip? Or is it coming from a level of division and diversity, or divisive people is what I call them? And when you think about that, we have to bring people closer. We have to bring people closer instead of separate, because we as a nation have to heal. We've been through everything in 4 years that could possibly break up a nation and make us weak. So, you know, United States, we stand, divided, we fall. That's the same thing with a marriage and having order in your household. And we've all been growing up with order. We just never noticed it because the digital age brought us real time. So now we're seeing that things are kind of slightly chaotic, disarray, and discord and disorder because of people who've grown up being disorderly, misconduct laden, toxic, and it's showing on a national platform. So when we think about this, we've got to bring people closer, make changes to our social circles, and start looking at ourselves introspectively within and become a better version of ourselves and a more unified, abundant, advanced nation and country and globally. So when we think about all of these different things, let's move next to dealing with teasing. Teasing, workplace violence, and workplace harassment, provoking gaslighting and bullying in the workplace is not good. If you have management or staff that is divisive, or they're keeping up kind of rhetoric or things like that, or talking about politics in the workplace, or talking about anything that can become divisive and create arguments, that's where biases do come from in the workplace. And then when we're talking about workplace bullying and people who are very toxic in the workplace, and we're talking about management and staff, we have to be able to include everybody, even people with disabilities. And disabilities can be anything from, you know, autism, or it could be anything from layers of being paraplegics and things like that, or levels of physical deformities and things like that. But when we think about disabilities and we think about Title II and we think about all these things of disability rights, we have to think about this all the way up to the Department of Justice, to the Department of Labor, and we're talking about EEOC. So when we're talking about these levels of diversity and inclusion in the workplace, sometimes we can have a workplace that is so racist and so racist rhetoric driven, so where we just end up having a bias that we never had before. So when we think about all these different things, that's how it shapes the workplace. So when we think about radical acceptance and dealing with teasing and having a sense of humor in a good way, that's fine. But to have a level of off-color remarks, jokes, and things like that that shape somebody's mindset and make them think of things and start making them looking at people different, and if they're white, they're black, or they're mixed, it doesn't matter. But the fact that if you tell certain off-color jokes or you do offensive things in the workplace, say, oh, you know, you're just too sensitive. No, there's a lot of people who weren't raised like that. So when we think about this, how does that shape you outside the workplace? Does it affect you when you go home with your spouse? And if you're going and dealing with racism in your workplace and a job, you might go home to your mixed race spouse and you're thinking to yourself, do you think of me like that? That's how that trickle down effect of what we call divisiveness and separatism. So, yeah, my nose is itching in the AC unit. So, when we're thinking about all these different things, we think about this in the school place and we think about this in the workplace. And we think about how to be a good manager. And, you know, when I went to school for business, I never thought that I would be affected by levels of life and how life affected me outside of school. And I never thought that it would become a layer in depth of me having to learn and realize everything I was taught growing up, which is to be open-minded and not have a level of feeling of cultural bias because of what happened to me. And then it's the best way I can explain this to you is my own personal experiences. And, you know, legitimately, I never used to be afraid of cops. I never used to feel a way about white cops. I never used to feel a way about black cops. I never used to feel a way about Spanish cops until I dealt with some bad people. Then outside of law enforcement, we're talking about layers of dealing with people who fail to do their jobs to fail to protect. So when we think about those different things, we're forced to have to call about something that happened with intimate partner violence. It shaped a level of crime that changed me. So therefore, I ended up with a mindset of certain things that I was like, this is not how I was raised, and I felt embarrassed. And so when we talk about these different things, we have to have these conversations because they do shape us in the workplace, they shape us in our biases and things like that that we might not have ever had. So, and then on top of that, I used to openly date. I dated all kind of different races of people. So, you know, it shaped me like, should I be dating outside my race? And then on top of that, with me being of mixed race, then on top of that, I started thinking, was it a mistake to date somebody outside of both races and things like that? Or was it a mistake to date a white boy? Was it a mistake to date a black boy? Now, you know, after dealing with a lot of racism and things like that, it had me start look a certain way, like, I don't want to gain these biases. I didn't have them to begin with. So I saw the world in black and white. I saw it in a gray area. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I was in that gray area of I didn't see color. So it basically, outside of black and white, it was in a gray area, and I was fine there until I went through racist stuff that happened to me. So then I was like, okay. Then it started shaping me about dating white men again. And then on top of that, it shaped the mindset of dating black men again. And then I was like, okay, I'm getting kind of messed up here. And then I was like, okay. Maybe I need to sit there and have some introspective work. Was it because of that person's color or was it because of their actions? And it came down to it was that person's actions. But it was so many of that same race of people that it started making me look at them a certain way. So then I started realizing that I need to have this conversation with everybody. We all need to have this conversation. Something has changed us all in some way, shape, or form that made us start to think a certain way or feel a certain way or start to have ethnocentrism to a certain side. And if you're a mixed-race child and things like that, you will have a tendency to feel confused because you're like, I don't want to choose either side. I like both sides. I like the white side. I like the black side. I don't care. But that's the best mindset to have. But if you were raised on a more black side and you're mixed black and white, you're going to have a hard time. And if you were more raised on the white side and you weren't raised on the black side, you're going to have a hard time. And then you're not going to want to embrace the other side. So those are things that I meant by having these conversations with your children and having these conversations at home. They may feel taboo to have, but in the I am abundance mindset, it doesn't say but white, but black. It doesn't say but the mixed or this, that, and the other. It doesn't say but the Koreans. It doesn't say but the Japanese. It doesn't say but the Asians. It doesn't say but the Saudis. It doesn't say but the Iranians. It doesn't say any of that. So, and it doesn't say but the Russians or anything like that. It just means that we have to get to a point that we heal as a world and heal as a country. And then on top of that, as global citizens, all of us have to get to a point of unity and advancement for each other and being able to understand each other from all different walks of life and then not allowing whatever happened to us to shape a level of bias and not being culturally diverse. And I wanted to get to that point because in a marriage and dating interracial and you get to move into marriage, we have to have this conversation too. Because when you think about it, there's a lot of people who are now interracial dating. It needs to be normalized. I've seen a lot of people who are like, why is she with a white boy? Or why is she with a black guy? you know, or this, that, and the other. I've seen, like, Gabrielle Sidibe or something like that. She's dating a white guy, right? And people, I've looked at comments, and people are like, yeah, why is she going to pick a black guy? It's the same thing when a black guy picks a white girl. And it's like, bro, what does it matter? If that person really likes that person, so what? You know, and I've had this happen to me before. Why do you like the white guy? Well, because he's cute, because he's nice, and he treats me well. Why do you like the black guy? Because he's cute, he's nice, he treats me well. Why do you date this lonely guy? Because he's cute, he's nice, and he's fine, and he treats me well. You know, and it's like, when we're talking about those layers of that, you get people who are really ethnocentric, and they're so woke, they're just so racist. And then you're just like, okay, Rafael Del Ghetto, you know, what's the difference with you dating somebody outside race? And, you know, people always have a justification for their ethnocentrism and their biases. So that's why I wanted us to get into those conversations and unpack them. And then when we think about when somebody decides to get married to someone outside their race, then you got people who want to comment about that. You know, so I'm like, where did this rhetoric come from? Where did these biases come from? Did it come from if something changed you, if something happened to you? And then when we think about all those different things, we have to get to a point that we get it. We understand it, and we have to not be okay with, hi, how are you doing, baby doll? Sexy, you peeked it. Good evening. We're having a conversation about diversity, inclusion, and that means understanding our biases. Did you laugh? Yeah. I want you to understand how important it is to have an understanding about interracial dating, marriage, and then working in workplace, cultural diversity and inclusion, and being able to understand each other from all walks of life and all religions, whether you're Muslim, whether you are Episcopalian, whether you are any type of Roman Catholic. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, Saudi, if you're Iranian, if you're Korean, Japanese, whatever race you are. I think I've named every race there is, Dominican, Puerto Rican, Colombian, okay, what else? Aborigines, it doesn't matter, European. And, you know, when I think about this, we all have to have these uncomfortable conversations about that. And then on top of that, to be able to understand why it's so important to diversify, include everybody, whether you are disabled, whether you're autistic, whether you have other syndromes, whether you are anything else outside the normal, typical, what we call, I won't say stereotypical, but a stereotypical level. I want people to understand that we got to get out of our stereotypes. We got to get out of our cultural biases that we have our kitchen table talking, think it is okay, but then we carry it over to workplace or water cooler talk or off-color jokes or, you know, little things like that. So that's why we're having that conversation. So I just want to bring everybody up to see that's in the chat. Oh, and then everybody, make sure that you guys call into our phone number if you want to be able to be heard and have your voice heard on there. Call 515-602-9765. You are more than welcome to come on board and call. If you spam, I will hang up in your face. Yeah, I will. But I want you guys to understand how important it is to be able to have these conversations. And they are taboo. But the thing is, we got to get away from taboo and having these conversations about sex. You know, having conversations about marriage, having these conversations about the workplace, having these uncomfortable conversations that we've all avoided. Okay. I heard you. So when we think about this, I want us to all be able to embrace the next white woman, the next black woman, the next, you know, whoever. And what I think is amazing right now is having a white president and a black and a woman of all things. I think that was the most abundant, beautiful, I am abundance mindset display of true diversity and inclusion to see our first black vice president, and she's of black descent, and then on top of that, Indian descent. So when we think about all of that, how amazing is that, that she fits the mold, and our sister girl that actually went to an HBCU, and she is every epitome of what I would want to embody. She is everything that I would want to as a woman of mixed race and heritage and things like that, to be able to be seen and to be heard and be included. So, you know, and it's amazing to see our first black president and a white vice president. So it's amazing to see that our vice president, her husband's white. So that's why I'm also having this conversation. It's amazing to see our first husband, vice president, is white. So when we're thinking about this, I love it. I think that's the I am abundance mindset, seeing it in real time. So with that being said, in the workplace, we've got to get to a point that we stop teasing people based on race or having off-colored jokes or remarks or, you know, having management that thinks it's okay to be closet racist and not hire based on your character and who you are and of the letters of qualifications versus the color of your skin. That's not to say that it still happens, but not as often. Do you understand what I'm saying? So with that being said, I'm going to talk about Asperger's syndrome in the workplace. And, you know, having to deal with people of disabilities, whether they're white, black, mixed, or anything else of any levels of echelons, whether they're trans, understanding we have to have diversity and inclusion. And let me get on the trans. For one, I want people to learn that trans people are human beings, like everybody else. They are people who identify as the opposite sex of what they were born, cisgender. If you're a cisgender female and you go to male, then call that person what they want to be called. Don't say, and keep on forcing it down their throat. They don't identify as the sex that they were born with. And the same thing as a cisgendered male who goes to being a female. If that person wants to be called Amanda or Maddie, then call them Maddie. Call them Amanda, whatever they ask you to call them. Because here's the thing that I think a lot of people are getting comfortable with, being racist, being ignorant, and thinking it's cute, or being exclusive or not including levels of what we call all different special classes. And when we think about lesbians, I want to get on that too. And I'm heterosexual, straight up. I like, you're going to do it. But the thing is, I don't care if you're lesbian. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're bisexual. I don't care if you're LGBTQIQ, QIA. I don't care. I think that we have to embrace people of all walks of life, trans as well. So like I said, when we think about diversity and inclusion, that includes trans. It includes gay. It includes homosexual. It includes bisexual. It includes pansexual. It includes all levels of sexuality. So the questions of whether somebody is married to a woman or married to a man doesn't matter. And whatever you decide to date, it doesn't matter. So we need to have this conversation because it's important, because those are biases that people will inadvertently and take it to the workplace. Or, you know, when we have people who refuse to serve a gay couple and not do their cake and things like that. The reason why I wanted to explain this is because I remember this article, we had this conversation in college. And somebody in the class was like, well, I wouldn't serve somebody who's gay. Why? Because they like the same sex. What's it to you? They're not affecting you. Money is money. You understand what I'm saying? So, and then, you know, well, my religion, I feel like don't fall back on religion, because religion, God said, come as you are. So if you are gay, transsexual, bisexual, homosexual, it doesn't matter, because you don't use the Bible for when it's convenient, and you don't turn around and say, oh, well, my religion says that. No, God said, come as you are. Mm-hmm. And in the Bible, it says, come as you are. It didn't say for the gays, though. It didn't say for the trans, though. It didn't say for the homosexual, though. When you talk about church, church is supposed to be inclusive to everybody. God didn't turn his back against anybody. The devil used to be an angel. So when we think about all these different things, we have to have these uncomfortable conversations, because guess what? There are people who are comfortable with making other people uncomfortable because they're not of what they consider the norm. It's that simple. Boom. So when I think about my hiring, when I hire a life coach or a wellness coach or a divorce coach or something like that, coach, when I think about all these different things outside, when we think about all these different things, I want to hire based on the fact that you're qualified to do the job. And I don't give a darn if you are bisexual, homosexual, transsexual. What does that got to matter? As long as you can serve my clientele. So when we think about this, we also have to think about this in marriages. When you see a gay couple, you shouldn't cringe. If you are so to the point that you feel like it's okay to sit there and have gay jokes about somebody being gay, then you're just as wrong as anybody else. Because at the end of the day, God loves gay people, trans, or homosexual, bisexual people, and it doesn't matter. I have actual lesbian people in my family. I have homosexual people in my family. I have bisexual people in my family, and I love them just the same. They're people just like anybody else. And I learned to normalize it as a small child. And I'm heterosexual. So when we think about this, we have to become what I call androgynous. and open-minded and being able to understand facts as it is and not take it to the workplace ethnocentrism, biases, or racism, or levels of not accepting other people or using that as an way to exclude someone. So, like, when I talk about the evangelical church, nothing wrong with being evangelical, but we have to remember church is church, love is love, religion is religion, so keep those things separate. There is a reason for separation of church and state, but there is a reason for why that people have to learn that the real church in our heart is loving everybody as they are, come as you are. You can pray to get that somebody, pray the trans out of somebody, or the homosexual out of someone. You're just not going to do it. So I think we all need to give up that whole ideal or that thought process to do that. And so I wanted to make sure that all the communities and things like that know that I'm an ally and I support you guys. So when we think about that, that's what love means. That's what love is that you have to be a devoted person to understand no matter if you're Hollywood, whether you're not Hollywood, whether you're industry, not industry, whatever industry you go to, whether you're rich or famous, whether you're a civilian or not, it doesn't matter. As long as you can understand somebody else's walk along in perspective or point of view, that's all that matters. So we're going to go on to building a powerful team. So when we think about this, we're going to do another training on building a powerful team, but part of teamwork is being able to understand people from all different walks of life and different points of view. So when we think about this, I want us to understand the first part of team. It does not have I in team. Teamwork means everybody's the dream work. So whether you're gay, lesbian, homosexual, bisexual, trans, or pansexual, or anything else in between, it doesn't matter. As long as you know that you can do the job, you're hired. It's just like that. It's just that simple. And this is why I wanted the management that listens to this type of thing to understand this. You can have whatever thoughts you have in your home. As long as you don't take it outside that home and use that in the workplace. Because I know there's a lot of people who are going to be racist all their life. It's just who they are. I hope you get eradicated real soon. But I want people who are open-minded and that are going to be diversified and inclusive in the workplaces as I get to hiring. And doing all those different things because I want people to understand as a human resources person and a person with that background and training, I have to still be open-minded and I want to be open-minded no matter what's happened to me. So that's why I wanted to have this conversation, although it might be uncomfortable. I wanted us to all have this understanding so that we all begin to love one another and begin to heal. And 2021 to be a year of healing, a year of introspection, and a year of growth and becoming ourselves. Our true, authentic self, and that means being open-minded, loving, kind like we used to be. We used to be a nation that was all together and not separate. So I think that we have to get to a point of nonpartisanship. We need to get to a point of non-separatism and non-racist rhetoric that is going on, creating this cultural divide. So, you know, we don't have to be a superhero in this. Well, many small business and people are protective of their vision, just like I am. Like, I'm protective of my business as a coach. And as a mother, I'm protective of my child. And as a daughter, I'm protective of my mother, no matter what we go through. So the same thing is when I have a spouse or a relationship or a dating. So in that, we have to know exactly where we want to take our vision and our goal. Mine is on an I am abundance illuminated mindset, an eternal circle of love and built on the foundation of each layer of brick that I put there. Each one, reach one, teach one, so I get to top peak as a better version of myself. So the same thing means when I extend it out to someone else in the workplace environment, in a relationship and dating, I'm hoping that sooner than later that people recognize this and they can grow. They can grow from these coachings, these teachings, and then on top of that, to start growing and work as a team and work as a unified, abundant, advanced nation. And it starts with ourselves and starts at home. So part of that was having this introspective talk. And then on top of that, to create a productive environment in a community that is unified. I'm hoping we will have Unity Fest in Pensacola and Atlanta. And I'm hoping those will be the first places to have a Unified Abundance Advancement Fest. And having a Unity Fest to me will be the best way to celebrate in 2021, 2022, after COVID's over and we know that the disease is finally at bay and things like that, and we're able to get to a point that we can socially distance or have a good time or do a social Unity Fest and do it worldwide so that everybody can start learning to go and be diverse and culturally accepting of other races, religions, and sex. So when we think about us being the type of person to be accepting and worldwide understand that it's a good plan for a very level of abundant unity and acceptance for other people to eternally, globally, worldwide, become more unified. So that means eliminating the level of biases and cultural things that we have personally. So when we think about this, we'll eventually gain a level of momentum, and I'm hoping that levels of people who have the I Am Abundance mindset will continue to keep on reaching with the next person, the next person, the next person, and it becomes a viral thing. That we all become illuminated and we all follow the light, fear God, and trust each other again and live in a life of order and not disarray, discord, racism, and rhetoric and things like that. And that's why I said, again, we had this conversation. So when we think about success arises from having an incredible learned level of ourselves and then others and accepting them as they are and kind as you are. So that's the reason we want to have that conversation. And last but not least, let's get into relationships, marriage, and being in a marriage of interracial dating and things like that. When you're interracially dating and you're also negotiating major disagreements, race shouldn't be a factor. When we think about this, and here's a question. If my wife, Sandra, and I have been married for 7 years, we don't have children yet, we're having our first major conflict. Initially, we both agreed it was time for us to move from our small house to a larger one. So when we have this conversation, and then we have a level of Sandra and her husband, say Jake, decided that they need a bigger house and they move into a new neighborhood, right? What if the neighborhood is predominantly white? Are they going to get comfortable? Or are they going to let layers of that white man and that black girl moving in to a predominantly white neighborhood affect them? Or are they going to embrace the whole neighborhood and is Sandra going to feel ostracized? That is a good scenario to talk about. It is a thing of, I grew up in a white neighborhood, okay? Predominantly white neighborhood, Filipino, black, and all different races of people, okay? But we were one of the few black families, and, you know, with me being a Missouri character, finding that out and things like that at 6 years old, okay? So I'm adopted, y'all, so that's why I wanted you guys to know. I wanted you guys to understand this from my viewpoint. If I was Sandra, married to a white guy, and we're going to a predominantly white neighborhood, I blend in fine because guess what? I grew up with white people. I did. My oldest friend was Jewish white. Cool. She dated a black guy. Her mom didn't say you can go over to that black girl's house. She said you can go over to your friend's house. My mom would tell me, she didn't say, oh, you can go to the white girl's house. She said you can go over to your friend's house. There was never color put in there. So in my mindset, Sandra should feel quite at home being in the neighborhood because color shouldn't factor into her being comfortable living in the neighborhood. And then the others in the neighborhood should be able to envelope Sandra, not based on her color, but being able to envelope her as a person. So there is no color being seen. So that's why that scenario was important to have that in relationships and having that conversation, because a lot of people will be like, well, I don't want to move to a predominantly white neighborhood. Well, so what? What does white have to do with it? As long as the neighborhood's comfortable, safe, and you're not feeling like you're going to die. You know, and the same thing with somebody white going to a predominantly black neighborhood. Whether Jake goes to the predominantly black neighborhood, we shouldn't say, oh, that white boy. You should say, oh, my brother from another mother. What's up? What's up, Jake? What's good? You should be able to be able to straddle both sides of the fence and being able to understand it, that it's not saying that white boy. You say, what's up, Jake? What's poppin'? So, you know, the same thing with Jake being in the white neighborhood around his people. The same thing with Sandra. You should be able to say, what's up, Sandra? How you doing, neighbor? How's it going? What's good? The same way that you treat someone, and no matter what the neighborhood demographic is, you should be able to look at that person as a person, not by the color. So when we think about this, we have to have these discussions and, you know, figure out how on earth will we get to an agreement and understanding. And when we have disagreement, race shouldn't come into that factor of, oh, you're saying it's because you're white or you're saying it's because you're black. Because a lot of us have been faced with that weird situation. I have. It's hard because you have to be able to understand that some people are not at the same level that I am. And some people are not at the same level as I used to be. And so when we think about this, everybody has a different growth level. So we have to look at other people's point of view. But when it becomes racist or when it becomes a rhetoric-driven thing or when it becomes a race card thing, that's when the buck has to stop. That's where you have to sit there and say, hey, I'm not comfortable with racist rhetoric. I'm not comfortable with biased talk. I'm not comfortable with the race card. You know, and whether you're black or white, whether you are mixed, whether you are anything else outside of that, it doesn't matter. we have to get comfortable saying, hey, I don't like what you did. I don't feel comfortable with that. Or, you know, that joke was not funny. If you have an Asian joke, that's not funny. If you got a black joke, that's not funny. If you got a white joke, that's not funny. So when we think about this, or you've got a homosexual joke, that's not funny. If you got a bisexual joke, that's not funny. If you've got any type of jokes that are off color or would make anybody feel uncomfortable, run it by somebody first. Don't do that in a place of business. I had a coaching experience where I went to coaching school and they told that Oprah joke. Don't tell that joke. That's not funny. But you're talking about a billionaire and saying that they're making fun of her, but you're nowhere near a billionaire. Shit. And I had to think about this, and these were two white girls that did it. But did you run that joke across to somebody black or who's perceived as black, but you didn't know half white? So when you think about these different things, have a diversity and inclusion team at your job. And the same thing when you're sitting around your friends and family and having a conversation. Run it by somebody. Unbiased. Run it by somebody who's not so overwhelmed that they think that's okay to do. Because a lot of us are of our social circle. A lot of us are who we marry. And sometimes we have to get to a point that we have an understanding about it and get so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable with jokes that will make anybody feel cringeworthy, uncomfortable, or turn red, or feel some type of way in the workplace or in a marriage. Because we're going to see a lot more of black women and white men. We're going to see a lot of white men with black women. We're going to see a lot of Asian and black. We're going to see a lot of Pacific Islander and black. We're going to see a lot of Pacific Islander and white. And we're going to see a lot of different Saudi and black. We're going to see a lot of different things. I've seen it all my life growing up, so it didn't bother me. So going through levels of things that were causing bias and upset me. It made me feel bad. So I had to learn it's just the person, not the race. So that's why I wanted to have this conversation about relationships, marriage, diversity, inclusion, and making sure that we have a full circle talk about this and about the taboo levels that it can go to, because we are keeping uncomfortable conversations behind closed doors but not checking people at the front door saying, hey, that joke was stupid. If you want to be racist, you go right on home with that. Don't come to work with that. You know, things like that. Or if you're sitting around and you're dating a white guy, don't sit around there as a black woman being comfortable listening to somebody talk about that white guy, because that makes them uncomfortable. The same thing with a white guy. If you're dating a black girl and your white friends are sitting up there making black jokes, remember, you're dating somebody of another race. Remember that that person needs to be comfortable sitting around with all of y'all, whether they're the only black person there. So it shouldn't be any type of color joke. You have to tell people, look, my girlfriend's black or my girlfriend's mixed. Please do not make any jokes that you normally make. And if you do make those jokes, I would like for you to stop. So those are things that I'm going to be planning on doing, because when I get back into dating and learning how to trust again, learning how to love again, I don't want it to be, oh, I can't date him because he's white. I don't want to be like, I can't date him because he's black. I don't want it to be, I can't date him because he's Colombian. I don't want to date him because he's Mexican. I don't want to date him because he's Saudi. I don't care. I want to be able to not have to justify my choice because somebody else is ethnocentric or overworked about their race. So that's why I want to have this conversation, and I wanted us to get comfortable unpacking these type of things that are uncomfortable, and then on top of that, challenge the status quo. So I hope you guys like this, and then I want you guys to call in 515-602-9765. Tell me about your experiences and things like that so we can unpack this in part two. And then on top of that, being civil in the manner of when you have relationships and marriages and when you're raising mixed-race children and below both sides of the races and things like that, and don't be a racist. And then on top of that, if you've got family members that are like that, be comfortable telling them, look, I'm not comfortable with the kids being around you if you're going to make off-color remarks or race jokes or sexual and connotation jokes and things like that. So I hope this helps a lot of people. And, you know, dealing with levels of diversity and inclusion means being able to check ourselves and being able to check our biases that we might have, and then being able to understand them from a point of view of understanding and love and agape love, I am abundant mindset, and, you know, a level of abundance, unity, advancement, and being able to see it from the top tier to the bottom tier, and as a level of human resources, diversity, and inclusion, I welcome you guys to give me your thought processes on that, experiences in the workplace, and we can have this conversation live chat, and I'll put it on the website, and we'll talk about it. And then when people want to, have the second part too to this. I would like to interview some people who've been through different things that have changed them, crimes that have changed them and made them feel a certain way, and let's have this conversation again. So, again, thank you for attending the live. You guys take care. And on top of that, I hope everybody loves this live.